Well, good evening. Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior. It is wonderful to be together again tonight. I trust that you had a blessed day. You had a good day. God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
God is good.
Amen. Well, tonight, well, this week, I should say, we've been talking about faithfulness and kind of been exploring a bit what that looks like in practical Christian living. What does it mean for us to be faithful? Our theme verse, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 5, and Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. Moses was an example for us of faithfulness. Tonight, the subject that I would like to think about is the subject of passion. Passion. In Hebrews chapter 11, we know that as the faith chapter, and we have a whole list of men and women that one of the attributes that I see in their lives is that they had a passion for God. And Moses, obviously, he's one of those that are listed there in Hebrews 11. I believe Moses was, it says he was faithful, and Moses was passionate. He was passionate about serving the Lord. And my desire is that each of you would have a passion for serving the Lord. My goal tonight is to get you fired up, to have a passion for serving the Lord. Do you have a passion for serving the Lord? Is that you? Does that describe you? I'm entitling the message tonight, "The Faithful Are Fervent Servants." And I invite you to turn with me to Romans chapter 12. Just a single verse from my text here tonight, but we want to look at what this verse says. I have 4 points that I want to consider. The fervent servant defined, we kind of want to take this verse and we want to pull it apart, tear it apart, and look at, see, what is it telling us? We want to think about a fervent servant illustrated. I have some illustrations that I want to share with you of what I think a fervent servant looks like. We want to look at some essentials, fervent servants' essentials, some things that are, I believe, are necessary. If we're going to be a fervent servant, what are some things that we need? And then we'll end with the fervent servant challenge. So let's begin here in Romans chapter 12. Verse 11 is my verse to consider tonight. It says, "Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord." And so let's begin to take things apart here a little bit in this verse. First of all, what? What is this verse telling us? What is the focus of this verse? I believe the focus of this verse is serving. Is serving. We are called to be servants. We are called to serve. And that is what Christians do, right? Aren't we? We are servants as God's people. We're called to serve. The word serve here, or serving, when you look up that in Bible dictionary, it has the idea of to be a slave, to serve, to do service, to obey, to submit to yield obedience, to yield to give up. Maybe we could say it's simply taking up our cross and following. That is a servant. That is a servant. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28, it says, "Wherefore, we receiving the kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear." The call for us is that we would serve God and we would do it in an acceptable manner. What is God's expectation for us as servants? How can we serve God acceptably? What is God looking for in our lives? It says that we may serve God acceptably and we would do it with reverence and godly fear. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, it says, "No man can serve two masters." Tonight, the call is to serve God. We cannot serve God and self. There cannot be two masters in our lives whom we are serving. And he tells us why. And the verse continues on. He says, "For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other." You cannot serve God and mammon. We cannot have a split allegiance. We're going to be faithful to one side or the other. We cannot serve two masters. Our service must be singular. Our text is calling us to serve the Lord. To serve the Lord. That is the focus of our verse. It goes on and it tells us how we are supposed to serve the Lord. So it begins, the verse begins, it says, "Not slothful in business." The word slothful there means lazy, sluggish, lagging or lacking. Having or showing a disposition to avoid exertion. Not slothful, not being lazy. Then he says, in business. The word business there is maybe not what we think of as business, but it has the idea of earnestness or diligence, haste, eagerness. The New King James Version would say, not lagging in diligence, serving the Lord. We are to serve the Lord and do it not lagging in our diligence. In other words, we are to be diligent about serving the Lord. We are to give it our all, not lazily, but give it our all. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit. Fervent in spirit. The word fervent here means to be hot, to be earnest. Webster's dictionary says very hot, glowing, exhibiting or marked by great intensity of feeling, zealous. Does that describe you in serving the Lord? Are you zealous about it? Are you excited about it? Are you diligent about it? Some synonyms for the word fervent would be eager, enthusiastic, passionate. There's my word. Passionate, zealous, fanatical. Fanatical. That sounds over the top, doesn't it? Fervent in spirit. Fanatical in spirit, serving the Lord. Is that us tonight? Are we that excited about serving the Lord? Passion. A definition there would be a strong and barely controllable emotion. Passion. Do you have a passion for serving the Lord? It's a driving force within us. The word zeal is a word that is used in Scripture quite often, and it has a very similar meaning here to the word fervent. Zeal would carry the idea of an excitement of mind, a fervor of spirit. The dictionary would say enthusiastic, devotion, often extreme or fanatical in nature. Webster says it's a strong feeling of interest, enthusiasm that makes someone very eager or determined to do something. And so the call here is that we were fervent, that we would be passionate, that we would be excited about serving the Lord. It says fervent in spirit. Spirit, I believe it's talking about our inner being, our heart, our mind, our inner part of us. So the New King James Version would read this verse like this. It says, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. The NIV says, never be lacking in zeal. Keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Friends, tonight my version here is simply, don't be lacking in your zeal, but be passionate in your spirit serving the Lord. Tonight, the faithful are fervent servants who are serving the Lord with passion. Is that you tonight? Does that describe you? My second point, the fervent servant illustrated. So back home, I have a small business. We sell and service lawn equipment. And currently right now, I'm doing a fair amount of the pickup and delivery. We have a pickup and delivery truck where we'll go out, we'll pick up equipment to bring back in for service. And I've been running that truck here recently, doing the pickup and deliveries. And several weeks ago, I was out on the road. And you may not know where this is, and that's okay, but I was going to the southern end of the city of Lancaster, and I was going in Fruitville Pike. I was headed south. It's two lanes and a fair amount of traffic lights. And as I'm driving in through, I get stopped. I'm in the right-hand lane. So you can picture two lanes going each direction. I'm in the right-hand lane, stopped at a traffic light. It was a warm afternoon. I had my window cranked down. And I'm sitting there, and I hear this guy singing. I hear somebody singing. He was all into it, just singing. I don't know what for song. It was not a gospel song, anything like that. But he was just passionately singing away. Interesting. And he was kind of back. It was coming from behind me, and I didn't have the nerve to stick my head out the window and crank back and see who it was or what was going on. But he's just singing away. He didn't care who was hearing, who could hear. He didn't care about anything. And traffic light turns green, and the left lane goes faster than the lane that I was in. And anyway, here comes this guy shooting down beside me, driving a scooter, and he was still singing away. He was passionate about singing. We get to the next traffic light. It so ends up that he is now in the same lane as I am. He's first at the traffic light. There's two cars between us, and then it's me. And I'm sitting there, and his head is bobbing up and down, and I can still hear him singing. And I'm half deaf. I don't have good hearing anymore, but he was singing away. He was passionate about his singing. He didn't care who was listening. He didn't care what anybody thought. He was into his song. The traffic light turns green and he goes and he disappears. I don't know what happens to him. I go a little bit farther where I'm now into Lancaster City, and I'm stopped at another traffic light. And a car rolls up beside me. Lady has music blaring away. It's a gospel song. And I don't, it was a contemporary gospel song. But it was singing about her Jesus. She didn't care that her windows were open and everybody could hear. She was declaring her Jesus. With no, she wasn't ashamed. She didn't care. She was passionate about her Jesus. She was declaring it by the music that she was listening to. Friends, tonight, are we passionate like that? That scooter man, he didn't care. The lady with her windows rolled down, she didn't care. They were passionate. No shame. There's another individual that I thought about kind of during that same period of time and still is making news yet, was Charlie Kirk. He's made the news, his death, his murder. I didn't know anything about Charlie Kirk prior to that. I just was not somebody that I connected with or heard or listened to, but I'm sure you all know of Charlie Kirk by now. But Charlie Kirk was a man of passion. He was a man of passion, and I'm not saying that I agree with everything that he did and said. I'm sure there was differences, but Charlie Kirk had a passion for his Lord. He knew what he believed. And he could defend it passionately. He defended the Bible. He stood for a lot of the things that you and I stand for. And he wasn't afraid to say it. He was passionate. He would go into colleges and he would debate with these young people. And he could stand his ground because he knew what he believed. He was passionate about what he believed. Do you have that kind of a passion for the Lord Jesus? We were to go to Scripture and look at somebody who had passion, and there would be so many illustrations, but the Apostle Paul is a good one. He was one who was passionate about his Jesus. And we don't have time to scratch the surface of Paul's life and his passion. In Romans chapter 1, verse 1, he begins his letter to the Romans. He says, "Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God." He defines himself, or he acknowledges himself as a servant. I see Paul as a fervent servant, a passionate servant. From the moment of Paul's conversion, he became a passionate servant of Jesus Christ. Paul had passion before that. He was a passionate man. It was just misdirected. But once he came, once he met Jesus that day, his passion was turned for the Lord Jesus, for serving Jesus. In Philippians chapter 3, a few verses, it says, "But what things," this is Paul writing, he says, "but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ." He recognizes that there was things in his life that needed to be laid aside, it needed to be redirected. He says, "Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss." Nothing else matters. Those things, it's all loss. He says, "I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung." It's all garbage that I may win Christ. It was all about Christ. He was passionate about Christ. Jumping down a few verses to verse 13, he says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth for those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." He was passionate. He was pressing towards that mark. He was passionate about his call in life. If you go on and you look at the life of Paul and all that Paul went through, the difficult, the hard times that he went through, it was his passion that got him through it. In 2 Corinthians 11, it talks about some of those things that he went through. He says, "In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in death often." He says, "Of the Jews, 5 times he received 39 stripes. 3 times he was beaten with rods. He was stoned. 3 times he suffered shipwreck. A night and a day he spent in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils of the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness and watching, in hunger and thirst and fastings often, in cold and nakedness." And he says, "Besides all this that are without," those external things, he says, "that which cometh upon me daily, the cares of the church." Paul seen it all. He experienced it all. And it was his passion that got him through. Paul was a fervent servant. Tonight, are you a fervent servant? Does that describe who you are? Let's think about some fervent servant essentials. So if you and I, if we want to be fervent servants, what do we need? What are some of the essentials that we need to have in our lives? I came up with a few things, and this list is by no means inclusive. I'm sure that you could come up, we could name other things as well, but some things that I see that are necessary. And the first one is very basic, and we're not going to spend much time here. It's kind of a given. If we're going to be a fervent servant of the Lord Jesus, we must have been born again. We must accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. If we're going to be a servant of His, that's just a given. We need to be one of His children. And that's all I have to say about that. That's a given. What I see we also need, if we're going to be that kind of fervent servant, we need to be totally committed. We need to be sold out for Jesus Christ. There is no room for half-heartedness. Totally committed. Not one of those I wannabes. Jesus Christ needs to be our number one if we're going to be a fervent servant of Jesus Christ. He is our number one. He is our focus. My life is all about serving Him, whether I'm at home, whether I'm at work, whether I'm at school, whether I'm shopping, whatever I'm doing, my entertainment, wherever, whatever. It is all about serving the Lord. Luke 9:23 says, "And He said to them all, if any man will come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow Me." Friends, that's commitment. Daily dying to self, taking up our cross, and following Him. An essential if we're going to be a fervent servant. Another essential that I see is a fervent servant needs to be a growing Christian. We need to be growing. We need to be maintaining our Christian life. Continually being in God's Word, deepening our knowledge and our faith in Jesus Christ, maintaining our relationship with God. We talked, I believe, Thursday night about maintaining our relationship. We need to have that daily devotionals. We need to have time of studying God's Word, reading His Word, times of prayer and meditation. We need to know what we believe and why we believe it. We cannot become stagnant and stale. A fervent servant needs to be a growing Christian. Another essential is, if we're going to be that fervent servant, if we're going to have the passion about the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to be living in victory over sin. Sin will drag us down. We cannot experience a fervent spirit about us if we are under the guilt and weight of sin. We need to be living in victory. We need to confess and repent if that's where we're at. It's not that we will never fail, because we are human and we will, but we can't stay there. I thought about David. You know, David would be an example. David was called to lead the children of Israel, to be their king. And David began, and he was serving well. I would view David as one who was a passionate servant of Jesus Christ, or the Lord God. Jesus obviously wasn't born then yet. David was a fervent servant. But then one day, something happened. David sinned, and it took him down. David made a mistake. But you know, David didn't stay there. Nathan came, and Nathan challenged David. You know the account. David repented. David was broken. David was restored, and I think that passion came back. David didn't stay there in sin, and we need to, yes, we do fail sometimes. I recognize that, but we can't stay there. If we're going to have a passion to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to be living in victory over sin. When we sin, we confess, we repent, we take care of it. Another essential that I see is that a fervent servant is not ashamed of his Lord. I don't know about you, but that's a big one for me. You know, sometimes, you know, as modest Anabaptists, we don't like to make a big scene. And we would just kind of soon rather we, I say we, I would like to be just kind of in the shadows. I don't need to be up front. I don't need to be out front making a big scene. And I get that. But you know what? I think, as Anabaptists, I think we could ratchet things up a little bit in our passion. You know that scooter man? That scooter man was not ashamed. He didn't care if I heard him singing. He didn't care who was watching, who was listening. There was no shame in him at all. That lady in her car, there was no shame about her music that was blaring away and broadcasting to the folks of Lancaster City. No shame. How many times are you and I ashamed? Maybe we keep our mouth shut because we are ashamed of who we are and who we are serving. There's a very sobering verse in Luke chapter 9, verse 26. It says, "For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels." Jesus is saying here, if you are ashamed of me, he says, I'm going to be ashamed of you. Friends, that's going to be a sad day. To have Jesus say, I'm ashamed of you. That scooter man had no shame. That lady in her car had no shame. Charlie Kirk had no shame. They were not ashamed. Friends, tonight, are you ashamed? Paul says in Romans 1, verse 16, he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Paul says, I'm not. Are you? Are you ashamed? Friends, a fervent servant cannot be ashamed of his Lord. 2 Timothy 1:8 says, Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Paul was encouraging Timothy. He says, don't be ashamed. And that's Paul's encouragement to you and I tonight. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. Another essential that I see that is going to be needed for us to be fervent servants is we need to have courage and boldness. A fervent servant is not for the weak. It's not for the faint of heart. Philippians 1:20 says, "According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing shall I be ashamed." Again, Paul here is writing. He said, I'm not going to be ashamed. "But that with all boldness, as also, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by my life or by my or death." Friends, don't be ashamed, but take on this boldness and magnify Jesus Christ. That's what Paul said he was going to do. He says, whether it means I live or I die, it doesn't matter. I am not ashamed. I'm going to have boldness. Friends, tonight, the faithful are fervent servants. Does that describe you tonight? The fervent servant challenged, my last point. So tonight I ask you the question is, what is it that gets you excited? Where are you? What is your passion button? What is it that will keep you up at night because you are so excited about it? Is there anything? What drives you? What gets you going? As a boy growing up, my father was a fireman. He was involved with the local volunteer fire company, also with the ambulance. But as a boy, I grew up in a fireman's home. And so my dad was a fireman. My brother, when he was able, he joined. He became a fireman. And as soon as I could, I joined the fire company. I became a fireman. And when the tones went, it didn't matter if it was in the middle of the night or if it was at breakfast or at supper time or whatever. When the tones went, the adrenaline started pumping. I mean, we would get excited. Our house was about a 300-yard dash from the firehouse. So the firehouse was along Main Street. We were on a side street. The fire company had a picnic grounds, a picnic grove, and a ball field there. And so the path to the firehouse was across the ball diamond through the woods, and we were there. And I tell you what, when the tones went, there was three streaks that went flying across that ball diamond to that fire hall. We were excited. The adrenaline would flow. That got us excited. We were passionate about being a fireman. Tonight, what is it that gets you going? I know we have some volunteer firefighters here, and I think that's a good thing. That's a good work that needs to be done. The sports world would be another illustration. You know, we're into football season again. And you've probably seen this, whether it's a news clip, whether it's a picture. You see these fans at a football game. And they dress up in all of these weird outfits, and they paint their faces and their bodies, and they're standing there in the crowd, and they're jumping up and down and hooping and hollering, and they're all excited about their team. They're passionate about their football team. They're all in, and maybe we look at them and say they are fanatics, and they are. They're excited. They're passionate about their team. And we look at them and, oh, yeah, I guess that's normal. You know, people like their sports teams. Do you get passionate about sports teams? Do you have a team that you are passionate about? Maybe you don't identify with the fire company. You don't identify with the sports. Maybe it's hunting. I'm sorry, ladies. This is all man stuff. I get it, but I don't know what gets ladies going, what gets you excited. Maybe it's shopping or going out for coffee with your lady friends, whatever it is. You fill in the blank there, but what is it? I'm talking about what is it that gets us going? Where's our passion buttons? So hunting, that big buck's out there. You know, you've been watching it all year long, all fall, and tomorrow morning is opening day of the season, and you go to bed at night, you can't sleep because you know what's up for tomorrow morning. You're going to be out there, and you're going to get that guy. Tomorrow morning comes, and there he comes, and then you're all excited again, and you're shaking so bad you can't even shoot. Passion. Passion. What is it that gets you going? You know, when we are passionate about something, it's important to us, right? We don't have any time spending time or money or whatever it is for what we are passionate about. But what about that same passion that drives us to do whatever that is, that sports event or that fire company or that hunting, whatever that is, you take that same passion. What about directing that to serving the Lord Jesus? Does serving the Lord Jesus push our passion button? Friends, I challenge us that it would. Could we be called fanatical about serving the Lord? Are you a fanatic about serving the Lord tonight? You know, we say it's okay for these people to act like they do at the sports events or whatever it is. The hunter that gets all excited. We say that's okay. But how many times do we look down at that person that we see that's a fanatic about Jesus Christ, and we say they're kind of going overboard? Can we do that? Can we go overboard with Jesus Christ? No, we cannot. There's nothing like that. Fanatic, one who is marked by excessive enthusiasm, often intense and uncritical devotion. I don't think we can have excessive enthusiasm for Jesus. There's nothing like that. Friends, tonight I challenge us, whether we are young or old, that we would be fanatics, that we would have a passion for the Lord Jesus. Our text verse, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Again, I challenge us tonight, as conservative Anabaptists, I believe that we have room to crank it up a bit. We have room to become more passionate, more excited, and show it about serving the Lord. I came across a writing some time ago. It's entitled The Fellowship of the Unashamed. It's written by a Dr. Robert Moorhead. And I'd like you to catch the vision, catch the passion in this man's writing. This is what he says. I am a part of the fellowship of the unashamed. The die has been cast. I have stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I am a disciple of his. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed. My present makes sense. My future is secure. I am finished and done with low living, sight walking, small planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tamed visions, mundane talking, cheap living, and dwarfed goals. I no longer need preeminence, prosperity, position, promotion, plaudits, or popularity. I don't have to be right, first, tops, recognized, praised, regarded, or rewarded. I now live by faith. I lean on His presence, walk by patience, lift by prayer, and labor by power. My face is set. My gate is fast. My goal is heaven. My road is narrow. My way is rough. My companions are few, my guide reliable. My mission is clear. I cannot be bought, compromised, detoured, lured away, turned back, deluded, or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice, hesitate at the presence of the adversary, negotiate at the table of the enemy, ponder at the pool of popularity, or meander in the maze of mediocrity. I won't give up, clamp up, let up until I have stayed up, stored up, prayed up, paid up, preached up for the cause of Christ. I am a disciple of Jesus. I must go till He comes, give till I drop, preach till all know, work till He stops me. And when He comes for His own, He will have no problem recognizing me. My banner will be clear. Friends, tonight, is your banner clear? Can you identify with the passion of this writing? Does that describe you? Where is your passion? How is it with you tonight? If you were to rate your spiritual life on a scale of 1 to 10, where would it be? Where are you at? Are you okay with where you're at? More importantly, is God okay with where you're at? Tonight, only you know where you're at. Only you know where you should be. Tonight, maybe you feel like there's something holding you back. You don't have that passion. And there's something that is holding you back. Maybe you don't really know for sure what that is, but you know that you have some room to grow in your passion for the Lord Jesus, for serving Him. Tonight we're going to have an invitation. And as we sing invitation, if you know that you are not where you should be in your passion for serving the Lord, I'm going to ask you to stand. Stand just to acknowledge that, yes, God, I want more. I want more of that passion. I'm going to ask you to stand for your feet. Maybe here tonight, maybe you're here and you don't have that passion and you know why. Maybe God has showed you something in your life. There's maybe sin in your life, something that you know what's holding you back. I'm going to ask you to come forward and to kneel at the cross tonight in repentance for whatever that is, whatever sin it might be. Tonight, I'm going to give you that opportunity. What will our song be tonight? As we sing, I encourage you to respond quickly. If God has spoken to you in any way, respond. Christian,